Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 49 degrees and overcast with rain in the forecast today. It's Friday, June 7th, 2013. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Rescue crews near Petersburg have recovered the body of a Santa Fe man killed in a float plane crash earlier this week. Alaska State Troopers also released photographs of the crash site showing the wrecked Pacific Wings de Havilland Beaver hanging on a steep hillside about 1,000 feet up on a mountain on the mainland near LeConte Bay. 66-year-old Thomas L. Rising of Santa Fe, New Mexico, was killed in the crash. He and five others were passengers on the cruise ship Seabird on an Alaska cruise offered by Lindblad Expeditions and National Geographic. Those five, along with the pilot, survived the crash and were rescued from the site Tuesday evening. Crews recovered Rising's body on Wednesday. An article posted to Duke Today, the online news site for Duke University, reported Wednesday that the flight was part of an optional tour as part of the Duke Alumni Travel Program, and that a family, including four Duke alumni and one current student, were the other passengers in the crash. The article names those passengers as the Reverend Frank Allen, wife Amy, and their three sons, Will, Rob, and Ben. Amy and Ben Allen were medevaced to Seattle for surgeries following the crash, while the other three were treated and released from Petersburg Medical Center. Another 22 Duke alumni were on the cruise. The Duke Today article quotes law professor Thomas Metzloff, also on the trip, saying that it is, quote, simply a miracle that they survived. Meanwhile, Lindblad Expeditions and National Geographic released a statement Wednesday saying the companies are deeply saddened by this tragedy. Our thoughts and prayers are with the people involved in this accident and their families, the statement says. An investigator with the National Transportation Safety Board is in Petersburg this week, compiling a report on the crash. Between salmon fishing, cruise ships, and a little less rain, summer is officially here in Sitka. Another sign, the Sitka Summer Music Festival evening concert series begins tonight. KCAW's Eric Newman caught up with violinist Gil Morgenstern, one of the musicians, to hear about his thoughts on music and his visit to Sitka so far.
Yeah, I'm Gil Morgenstern. I'm a concert violinist living in New York City, Manhattan, and here at Sitka to play at the festival. I'm very happy to be here. The piece that I'm going to play is from a partita, which is a suite of movements, dance movements, that are from the Baroque period that were put together. So there's a minuet, a gavotte, a jig. It's a piece by Johann Sebastian Bach written in the 1720s. There are certain professions, and I don't claim this to be the only one, that it's not what you do, it's who you are. So it doesn't matter how many people are in the audience, what the venue is, whether it's in New York City or whether it's on the moon, how many professionals are in the audience. You're actually selfishly, primarily playing to satisfy a need in yourself to communicate. My feeling is that actually every experience that you have is recorded somewhere. And someone once asked me where inspiration comes from, and the answer is, I don't know if I've ever been inspired, but if I were to be inspired or inspiring, it's when somehow all of those or enough of those experiences that you don't even realize are still there, they come together at one moment. Literature, just basically interacting with interesting people, traveling to Sitka, seeing the Eagles. I'm from New York. I've only seen those on National Geographic shows. It was just very moving. How that will translate, or if it will translate, or if it will translate in the concert tonight or 5 years from now, I have no idea, but I know it's in the reservoir to be tapped into.
KCAW's Eric Newman with an audio postcard from the Sitka Summer Music Festival and violinist Gil Morgenstern. Tonight's concert will be held at Harrigan Centennial Hall at 7:30. For ticket information, stop by Old Harbor Books or visit sitkamusicfestival.org online. Renovations to Alaska State Capitol are well underway. Juneau-based Alaska Commercial Contractors started major work on the building's crawl space and portico at the end of April, a few days after the legislative session ended. Lisa Fu visited the Capitol earlier this week and has this report.
Bright red construction tape blocks the front of the building. Stairs are missing, and large signs direct you to a temporary entrance on Seward Street. A few workers are beneath the entrance landing, which supports four marble columns.
They've shored up the slab on the front here to support the portico. There will be installing some more shoring from the slab up to the portico, so when they begin demolition, they can take it down in pieces.
Capitol Building Manager Don Johnston says within a few weeks, the original sandstone portico that bears the words Alaska State Capitol will come down.
That's because it's deteriorating. If you see underneath there, you can see white efflorescence. That's just all sandstone, which is not a really desirable material for this climate, which is why it's breaking down.
The historic columns supporting the portico will remain where they are, and the railing on top will be removed for reuse later. During construction phase, the stairs will be replaced. The iconic portico will be rebuilt in Phase 2, using precast concrete resembling sandstone. Phase 2 of the renovation will also involve a seismic retrofit of the entire building. Right now, workers are digging a hole on the corner of 4th and Seward Streets.
What they're going to do there is punch a hole through the foundation so they can get material in and out of the crawl space. So there'll be a conveyor belt underneath there hauling soil and all kinds of debris out of the crawl space and delivering any materials in there that they need.
That hole is right under Juneau Senator Dennis Egan's ground floor office. Egan arrived to work Tuesday morning to jackhammering. His window looks right onto the renovation site.
It doesn't bother me. You know, it's progress. We're getting things fixed. And we're saving a very historical structure.
Egan says building improvements to the state capitol, originally designed in 1923, are long overdue.
It got to the point that we had to do something. There was marble falling off the portico. It was becoming dangerous. There was sandstone brick that's popping off because of the moisture, and over the years becoming more serious.
Updates on Capitol renovations will be heard during upcoming legislative council meetings. Also discussed will be money for Phase 2. Egan says the majority of the close to $20 million needed for the next phase is secured.
But we're still hunting and scratching and trying to figure things out. But the chair of Ledge Council, Mike Hawker, he's been very supportive of this project. And that means a lot, at least to me, because you have an Anchorage legislator in full support of what we're trying to get done here.
Phase 1 of Capitol renovations is scheduled for completion this October. Building manager Johnston says he has not received any complaints from the legislators and staff about the renovations or the noise. Daily tours of the Capitol have not been interrupted. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
U.S. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell sat before the Senate Energy Committee yesterday, her first time since being confirmed for the job nearly 2 months ago. Lawmakers threw questions on home state issues at her, which they'll likely do throughout her tenure. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, she addressed two key issues in Arctic oil and gas development, the coastal plain of Anwar and legacy wells in the NPRA.
Secretary Jewell looked decidedly more governmental this go-around, showing up in a standard-issue D.C. business suit. She mostly stuck to script and did not divulge too much information and show too much candor, but she did step forward with her opinion on Arctic oil and gas drilling. Senator Lisa Murkowski asked Secretary Jewell whether the Fish and Wildlife Service's final conservation plan for Anwar will include a development plan for oil and gas. Secretary Jewell answered clearly and succinctly.
The president has made it clear that it is not part of his agenda to do oil and gas exploration in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and I support that position.
As a member of the cabinet, Jewell is expected to defend the president's position. It would take an act of Congress to open Anwar up to drilling. In his most recent budget, President Barack Obama proposes using money from onshore leases to help clean up legacy wells in the National Petroleum Reserve. That's a plan Senator Murkowski does not support.
Monies that would be going to the state of Alaska and the residents of the North Slope are going to be choked back. That's not appropriate.
The president's budget is far from law, so that plan is not in practice yet. And there's no sign in Congress the two chambers will agree on a budget resolution anytime soon. The wells were drilled by the Navy and the Bureau of Land Management between 1944 and 1982. Lois Epstein, who directs Arctic Policy for the Wilderness Society, says there are more pressing wells to plug in the lower 48, wells closer to large populations of people.
There are some that do need some remediation. Interior has been making some progress on that, but it's extremely expensive to do so. In the National Petroleum Reserve, it's very remote, hard to get equipment there, and frankly, there aren't many people nearby who are actually at risk.
For her part, Secretary Jewell says she's committed to capping the leaking wells in the NPRA, but Congress needs to do its part and find the money to do so. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
The State Personnel Board is looking for attorneys interested in investigating ethics complaints against members of the executive branch. Nikki Neal is director of the State Division of Personnel and Labor Relations. She says the request for proposals released this week was not in response to any pending complaints against the governor, lieutenant governor, or attorney general. She says it's been the board's practice the last few years to have contracts for independent counsel in place in case they're needed. The solicitation says it's expected that three contracts will be awarded, with work distributed equitably among the contractors. Proposals are due June 26th. It's not clear how much the work might cost. Neal says the contract term would be for 1 year with the option of 4 one-year renewal periods. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain, likely highs around 55, east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain, lows around 48, east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, rain, likely highs around 57, southeast winds 10 miles per hour. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, highs around 60. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.